Well, we're going to open the scriptures and we're going to show you that the love the Father had for his Son and has for his Son is also the very same love he has for us. And not only a love he has for us, but shares that love also. And I want you to turn to John 17. And I'm not going to look at all of this, because I don't believe that's how the Lord has led me in this study to do this. But in this priestly prayer that Jesus prayed just before he went to the cross, we see that in this chapter, it's in three sections primarily. And in John 17, we see from verses 1 through to 5, where Jesus prays to his Father with regard to the fact that he is to give up his life and that it is to glorify the Father and that the Father will be glorified through the Son. So here he is praying very much for himself as he faces the cross. And then we see through verses 6 through to 18 where Jesus then after that he then begins to reveal where he's manifesting the Father's name to the disciples. And here he prays for the disciples. And then in verses 20 through to 26, we see then where Jesus prays not only for the disciples, but that he also prays for all believers, those that would come afterwards, which includes you and I. And so here he prays for believers. And bearing that in mind, I want us to really base our teaching this sermon this morning on verse 26. And in verse 26 he says, "But I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." What profound statement. What a word, what a prayer. That God in flesh, Jesus, who's manifesting the Father's love, reveals to believers and asks the Father before he goes to the cross and is glorified, asks the Father that with the same love that you love me, lead me and guide me, I pray they also experience and have the same blessing and anointing and experience upon their lives. Little wonder Satan has attacked the Church of Jesus Christ with such a prayer and such a statement. But we are in the times of restoration, where God is restoring now apostolic faith to the church. And I believe it's not only an apostolic faith, bringing us back to believing all the promises of God, but here is a great promise in which to embrace and believe that as the Father so loved Jesus, with that same love, he loves me. That should be in itself a great deliverance. And no one with such a statement like this should ever suffer rejection anymore. If you keep your eyes upon Christ, upon his word, and such statements as this, one should never feel rejected, knowing that the Father loves me with the same love that he had for his Son. And if anyone felt rejection or could have gone through rejection, Jesus most certainly could have. For he was rejected many times. And even at his betrayal, that night of his betrayal, those that he walked with and was with for 3 years, even they left him. But he knew the Father loved him. And can I suggest to you, that is why God will allow you to go through similar experiences like Jesus went through. So to get from your head to your heart, God loves you with the same love that he had for his son, and nothing can interfere, separate that love. That is why God will permit and allow you to go through outwardly what appears rejections, betrayals. How will you ever know otherwise? How will you ever know God's love experientially if you don't go through such same experiences? And those experiences, I can tell you at times, become heart-wrenching. And they can come from those whom you least expect. Those rejections can come from your very closest in the flesh. Why? So that Jesus' prayer, he prayed to the Father that you will experience the same love that he had for the Son, that he has for you also. That agape love, unconditional love. And so he loves us with the same love that he had for his Son. We know that. Look back in verses 20 through to 26. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That is the work of restoring the Spirit is doing in this hour in the Church of Jesus Christ. That will be its power, its testimony, and the gates of hell shall not prevail because of its unity and oneness that it has with the Godhead. And we have it with each other. Can you not see how powerful this is? What God is working through believers? It's mind-boggling how the Spirit of God is doing this. And as you simply yield to him day by day, he will work that. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. So he not only unites us in that oneness that is in the Godhead, but in the Godhead, God is glorified. There is glory. And so he places in that unity and oneness, he says, and the glory which you gave me, I give them also. The glory. This glory means it's a glory that shines. It's a glory that glorifies the Lord. It's a glory that is seen. God's presence was seen. When God appears, when he comes amongst men, he is seen. In revivals, he showed some of his glory and he was seen. And those called from the foundation were drawn by that glory. And it's going to be that glory that will reveal the latter rain outpouring and the greater works, will it not? You don't seem very excited about it. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. So he doesn't stop there. So he speaks of a perfection of unity and oneness. Be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. So that perfected work is being wrought by the Spirit through this anointed word in your life and my life. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So the world is to come to a knowing, an understanding, a knowledge of this unity, this oneness, the glory that God is going to set amongst his people. So it's going to be seen. It's going to be known. It will be talked about. Father, I desire. There's Jesus' desires before the Father. And what does God say about desire? He says, well, if you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. Here's the desire of Jesus' heart in his flesh. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, For you loved me before the foundation of the world. There is the desire of his heart. Father, that I not only go back to heaven, to glory, but the seed you've given me, they may also accompany me as well. There is his love for the world. There is his love for you.
Thank you.
Is it not? O righteous Father, the world has not known, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. What a prayer, what a belief, what a confession for believers. Now, do you think the Father is going to turn that down? No way, you've only just had to read it. You know when you read something like that, that God could never turn his back on that. You know, you just know that God hears that. It's inspired by the Spirit. But it doesn't stop there. We see again back in John 15 and verse 9, chapter 15 and verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. There is that love again that is shared by the Father. He says, as God not only loves me, but I love you, let's abide in that love, that agape love. And how has this all worked? Well, we see that this is worked by the word which he gives us. Let's turn back to John 17 and verse 6. And so this is being worked out in your life, my life. This is being worked out in this church by the anointed word that God is giving to us. And here it is in John 17 and verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world that were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. There you are. I've manifested your name. In other words, your love to these disciples. And he's not only stopped there, but I've shown you that this is going to be given to believers as well. But it's firstly being shown to the disciples, the apostles, because the apostles, these apostles, are going to be the foundation of the church that's being laid. Where believers too can inherit this and embrace this and take this as well. So he says, whom you have given me out of the world that were yours, who gave them to me and have kept your word. So Jesus confesses here that the Father has given these men, these apostles, to him. He, of course, being the chief of the apostles, the cornerstone, the rock. So he acknowledges that the Father, by the Spirit, has given these men to him to train. The Father, in his mercy and grace, has given to ministry you, that you may be taught and perfected in the faith. My ministry has been assured, and other ministries that are coming out of this has been assured by the Father through the Holy Spirit, that you are the gift given, baptized into this church. That reveals to me what the Father has blessed and given to Full Gospel Assembly, that they may too receive the Father's love and experience it for glory. Can you not see how the cycle goes on and has gone on through generations? That is why I take comfort. That is why I can stand boldly behind this pulpit, because I see the gift that the Father has given, his seed, called from the foundation of the world. And that is why you hear the word and respond to the word. That's why we have others, and others have come and others have gone, because they've not heard. You've heard because you've been called from the foundation of the world.
Well, thank you, Lord.
You have to hear. It's been preordained. God has called
He's called from the foundation of the world, and that which he calls will glorify his name. You are predestined to glorify the Father's name. And to do that, he gives his love to you, that same love that he had for his Son. It will never stand otherwise. It will never be fulfilled otherwise. It will never glorify his name. Unless God gives the proportion and same love that he gave for his Son, that he gives to you, it can never be redeemed. Now hold on to that. When you feel rejected, or you go through a trial, just say to yourself, Jesus went through this, but the Father still loved him, and he loves me with the same love that he had for his Son. Amen. Whatever Satan is trying to say, you see, he's all the while trying to break that hold. And that hold then takes your eyes off Jesus, off the Word. And then you begin to look at the trials, the symptoms, the problems, the negativeness of the world. That's how he works. Doesn't change. His tactics are all the same, always the same. But we need to know further that God's same love for us is his holiness. And all his perfections are expressed in holiness. When you use the word holiness, you're using also the word, the term love, in the same way. And his love provided that atonement. And the atonement is the mercy of God. So when you speak of his love, you speak of his holiness. When you speak of his holiness, you speak of his love, and his love provides. It's called mercy. Unmerited favor. So God is love. He doesn't have to love, but because he is love, because his love is holiness, his holiness is love, it provides. You are his provision. You are his creation. His very name, his very glory, his very love, his very holiness is shared. And he chose to create man in his image, that man may acknowledge that and see that, and he can see that he can be a partaker and share in that. But God didn't have to do it. He's completely perfect within himself. Unique. Undefiled. But mercy, because it's always been there, provided. And so in that, we can partake of God's glory. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And that means that the very glory that was upon his Son, the very love that he had, is the same for you. And it doesn't change. God has decreed it. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, I've had a rough week this week, and Pastor, if you only knew. Friends, get this from your head to your heart. Whatever you've gone through, whatever you might even feel right now where you're sitting in your seat, that does not change what God's Word says. We're going to get there. Amen. We're going to believe it. God is going to get you to a place where you're so persuaded by that, you couldn't think any differently. Because it's your experience. And so his love, holiness, provides. Here's the provision. 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So we ought to. And even we find with that, as we settle that, God has to work that agape love. Why? Because your love is eros love. It's a love that is based on flesh, intellect. You choose the object that you love, that appeals to you. Quite the opposite to how God chose. Agape love. God chose the worst. God chose the harlots, the perverts, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the boastful, the deceiving, the murderers. You name it, God decided to love those. They're not people you would love. If I said to you, to a single man, I want you now to go and marry a whore, a harlot, he'd look at me as though I'd gone completely bonkers. But God chose to love a harlot. That nation was Israel. Out of all nations, he says, I have loved. That is God's love. And therefore, God calls us with that same love to love unconditionally. Whatever they look like, whatever they've gone through, whatever they may have been up to, whatever their background, whatever. God calls us to love unconditionally. And that is what he works in you. And that is the same love that he loves, that he works that love in you, that you also share that same love. So the very love that Jesus experienced from the Father is the very same love that he shares and gives upon you, and it is a love that will love unconditionally. See? Now that will be a miracle. Will it not? Will it not? And that is why he works that, and that's why he gives us the cross, that we daily take it up. And so as we continue to surrender that self-life to God, and we'll allow the Spirit to work on that self-life, so the love that was upon Jesus from the Father is the same love that you're going to experience more and more and more. And that is where our faith works. That is where faith comes in. That is where you begin to understand faith. You cannot understand faith, your faith walk, unless faith works by love. If you leave it alone to just faith comes by hearing and reading and hearing and reading the Word of God, which it does, but that's all we ever heard, you're never going to fully understand it. Unless also, by receiving that Word, you receive the love that was upon Jesus from the Father, which is also upon you. Then it all begins to make sense. Because then that faith is motivated, operated, released by love, which is wrought by the Word of God. Can you not see how it all works? It's an entire, complete package. You see, God's love is an unqualified love because it's motivated by nothing in the object that it sees. God was not motivated by Israel. God was not motivated by you, by trying to help him, or doing good works. It is not motivated in any way. Very often still, our love is influenced and motivated. But God doesn't love that way. God simply chose to love you. Period. And that is why he first loved us. And that is the love that he shares. And so if you find yourself confessing the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you find yourself praying, reading this word, coming to the meetings, encouraged, influenced by the Word of God, speaking in tongues, desiring a heart to obey, to live his ways, These are all clear signs that God loved you first before the foundation of the world. Now that should be an encouragement that nothing can separate that. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your trials, nothing can separate the love of God in my life. That's what kept the Apostle Paul going. You know that wonderful statement where he said that nothing can separate me from the love of God. And then he goes through a whole catalogue of things that outwardly would appear as though it could separate you from the love of God. Yet he says none of those things, none of them can separate me from the love of God. He was so influenced, he was so persuaded, because he knew that the love that the Father had for his Son is the same love he had for him and for the church. That's how he went on. That's how he was able to move in such a faith, in such a boldness and conviction. And that is what God's restoring now in the church. He's restoring this even in this assembly. And we know the enemy tries to throw the book at times. He tries to discourage and so on. But we know the Father's love never changes that. They're simply circumstances. They're simply temporary things that you're hearing and seeing and the devil's using and very vocal. But remember, it doesn't last. And very often it's quicker than you even realise in the trials and the tests. So we can take comfort in this. And so his love he had for Jesus is the same love for us, and this also is the second thing I want to take it on. This is what we call a covenant love. And a covenant love is revealed and given by the mercy of God. And a covenant love is a love where two people come in total agreement and harmony and make a covenant. They agree. And of course, I'll share with you again for those that don't know it, but under Old Covenant, very often a covenant that was made between two parties was done by a sacrificing of an animal. And by the killing and the shedding of blood, death in other words, and by the separating of the carcass, the cutting in two, two parties that made covenant would walk between the carcass that was separated to reveal the seriousness of breaking covenant. As that victim, that animal, had to be sacrificed to consummate that covenant, so that is how serious it is in breaking it. And we see that love that the Father had for his Son, that he reveals and gives to us, that same love is a love of covenant. And that was shortly after Jesus gave that out in John 17, very shortly after that, that covenant was to be fulfilled. Not only was it to be fulfilled, but it was to actually be put into action. Up until that point, it was words. It was now to be put into action. And what was the action? The actual offering of his lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Here now was a covenant that God was going to make through his Son to make with you and me. That Jesus is the one, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, like a carcass cut in two, so we walk through in that covenant relationship, the shedding of the blood. That is what you have made with your Heavenly Father. He has made it with you. He took the initiative. He took the start. He put the idea into your head. He gave you the revelation. And now in your will, this is where your will, you say, okay, I will do this. I will now walk through this sacrifice and I will keep that covenant with you. There is perfect love. There is the blessing. See? And that love that he shares with us, that is the love that it needs to understand and know and experience. And so we see then with this covenant that he makes with us, it's a covenant of election. Because unless God elects and calls, no one will ever, ever make that covenant with the Father. They'll turn away from such a covenant. No way am I going through that. That costs too much. There's no way I can keep that. And so God has to call, has to elect. Here we see the Father's love, electing and calling, you see? And so praise God, it's an elective love. In other words, it's mercy. It's loving kindness. It's steadfastness. All these things that make up a covenant. So not only does God have his covenant, then he makes covenant with you, but he's steadfast. He's immovable. He's gentle, loving, kindness, mercy, grace, all those graces that are working with you in making and maintaining and keeping that covenant. See how the Spirit works? Those things in your life? When you feel you're coming to the end, you feel you can't go on, or you feel disappointed, or it seems God's let you down and the enemy uses it, you still keep in there with covenant because you've made it, and it cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. And so God works that in your life. And we call it the fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruit of the Spirit. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, love, and so on. He's working that so that you can maintain and keep that covenant, that confession of faith to the end. That's why he that endures to the end is saved. That is the covenant, that is the conditions of the covenant. And of course, we see today where the idea of covenant, the enemy is using this. The enemy has so tried to defile what the idea and understanding of covenant is. And that is why 1 in 3 marriages break up in divorce. And that's what he's trying to do. It's rebellion to God. It's rebelling against him. See, the idea of covenant, your idea of covenant, nobody can keep it. Nobody is faithful. Nobody can make those promises, those sacrifices. See how he's working. So that's why God is restoring in the body of Christ today. He's restoring the revelation that once covenant is made, you keep it for life in this world. And it doesn't break. Because if he does, you bear the consequences of it. And the consequences are horrendous. And that is why we are seeing a breakup in family life, a decline in morality. We're seeing delinquencies coming forth, sadly, in this last generation that is horrendous. The morals, the standards are falling rapidly away. The vulgarity, the uncleanness is rife throughout the world. Why? Because the idea of covenant no longer holds value anymore. See how Satan's working? And it's called rebellion. Outright rebellion. And sadly, this is why the wrath of God will be upon the earth very shortly in these last days. And we see it's not far away. We're seeing now the falling away in every way and form. So it's an elected love, because it has to be, because it's a love that's based on a covenant. And that is why the Word of God is brought forth in grace, in love, in mercy, in admonishment, in rebuke. Because it's to help us, it's to feed us, is to keep us alive in a land of famine, so that we can experience the Father's love. We maintain that covenant. We stay with it. You see? And that is why, you see, steadfastness, faithfulness is so powerful today, when you see so much of it being broken. And so if it's not going to be seen in the house of God and amongst ministry, it won't be seen anywhere else. And you know, when you settle these things, you realize that whatever trial you're going through, no matter how bad it is, you will automatically just say to yourself, I have no say in this. It's nothing to do about what I want. This is for the glory of God. And you just find then God's grace and mercy is there. And even in the thick of the trial and what is going on, you find the grace of God is there, keeping you in there. Because you know that this has nothing to do with you anymore. And you eventually come to that. You eventually come to that place where it's nothing to do about me anymore. This is about my Heavenly Father. This is about His glory. This is about His love for me. This same love that He loved for His Son, He loves me as well. And that very love that He had for His Son was His love that preserved and kept Him even to the cross, and at the death of the cross, and at the resurrection of the cross. Remember, the very same love that He had for His Son is the very same love for you, and it's the same principle and working. And that is why in your death, His same love is in that death, that spiritual death, that death to the self-life, is also the same love that raised Him in glory, in resurrection power, is also the same resurrection love that is raising you up through the areas of death into resurrected life. So you are in a process of dying and being raised. Can you not see that? And we call that highlights, exposures. And so these exposures are ongoing works, so that God is there preserving, keeping you, and as you die, so you are resurrected into healing deliverance. Your deliverance, your raising up, is resurrection, is perfecting work, is the bride making herself ready. Can you not see this is where she's making herself ready? It's by the exposure and acknowledging that exposure and staying on the cross until death brings that deliverance, and then the resurrection comes. They're her robes of righteousness. That's her holiness before God. That's how He's doing it. And eventually you begin to see this. And as painful as it is, you remain there by the grace and mercy of God. Because God will bring me through. And Jesus had to go through things. He had to go through trials. He had to learn those things until He had come to that place where He prayed that priestly prayer in John 17, where He then was ready to go to the cross, because He knew the Father loved Him and nothing will ever separate that love. That is why I'm so opposed to JDS teaching, where Jesus became separated from the Father. He took on sin and went down into hell and had to be born again and so on. It's absolute blasphemy. They do not know the Word of God when they come out with such statements. They have not even been touched by covenant love to make such statements. They do not know the Father's love. But you do, because it's been declared to you. It's been revealed to you. And that is why you will be able to stand and endure, and you will experience the greater works. You will experience the Father's promise to this word in the last days. He's made a promise, and that promise is a covenant, and He will never break that covenant. Amen. The Father's love for Jesus is the same love for you. Father, we thank You for this morning. Again, a word in season. a word we need to hear. I pray that every heart and soul will be touched by this, will experience this, and that whatever we go through, it will bring peace, harmony. It will bring comfort to the inner man. For how the enemy goes round like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. But Lord, we've been called out of this world. We are of another world, simply sojourners passing through. And Father, I just pray for brothers and sisters, Lord, that you would work the love of the world out of their hearts, that there will be no interest anymore for this world, trying to build in this world, trying to make a future, security. Father, we're not of that. We don't need it. We have all that we want in your love that you've now given to us as you gave to your Son Jesus. That is all we need. It's all we will ever need. And so, Father, I thank you for this word. And Lord, if there's to be more in this, then you will open it up next time. And that is why faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Because it is your love set abroad in our hearts, and faith is motivated and moved by love. And so you're perfecting our faith, and our faith as a result will bring the greater works for the last day for one purpose, that it might bring glory to your name. So I pray you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us, and keep with us till we assemble again, because we ask this in Jesus' name.